Bring aid all around the world. Now, hey, I have with me a very special group of people. I have a dynamic duo of a father and son and a young lady that's a nurse, all from Holland, all Christians, didn't know each other before. They're currently here. We're here in Tel Aviv. It's another beautiful day in the Jewish state. And we're here in Tel Aviv. The sun is going to be set in a few hours. It's a beautiful, hot day. You got a little suntan, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're here doing volunteer work for the Army. Now, I'm going to clarify and say we're not going to say which organization because they have a tax-exempt status. So we're going to talk about some things about why we support Israel from a biblical standpoint. And so we don't want to have that be a conflict of interest for them. But we do appreciate the organization you guys are working with. They're amazing, amazing. I've actually done some work with them when I first came, and it changed my life. So we're going to start with the young lady. Ma'am, could you look at her rolling her eyes? What are you scared of? Folks, there's no way anybody... This is a recording.
Okay,
we're going to send it off to the States.
Okay.
So no one's going to come through and bite you. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay.
Tell us your name, ma'am.
Hannah.
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 From Holland.
From Holland, yes.
A nurse.
A nurse.
27.
Mm-hmm.
Married?
Nope. Single.
Single? No children?
No children.
That you know about?
Hmm?
That's a joke.
No,
it's true.
And so let me ask you, you have a great story because you came here for the first time back in April, right?
Yes.
You're still here. You haven't left yet.
Yeah.
So you came in April. Why did you come to Israel? Well, out of all the places you could have gone, from Holland, Italy, Greece, Cyprus,
mm-hmm.
Why did you come to Israel?
The first time I came to Israel was for a vacation. I came here with my other cousin. And I always want to see Israel because I read in the Bible of Jerusalem and the country of Israel. And I like it to be here in Israel. It gives me a good feeling. And it was good to be here. So I choose for to do some volunteer work for the army. And...
What were your thoughts? Okay, so here you are from Holland.
Mm-hmm.
You've read about Israel your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate to that. I'd never been here before I came. I came for the first time and I stayed. I've been here almost 3 years now. So you come for the first time. I'm sure you've seen promotional videos about Israel. You've been here for how long now? Since April, beginning of April?
Yes, I stayed here for 2.5 months.
Okay.
Yes.
What were your first impressions when you came? Like, what were your first thoughts like?
Oh, wow. Okay. I think it was one big desert, but...
You thought it was one big desert?
And restaurants and bars and... Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
It was more than I expected.
It was more than you expected. What is your feel for the people? Like, how did you... You know, there's a lot of people, like my niece, Skype with me when I first came. Uncle Michael, is there camels there? And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen any? I'm like, no.
No.
You know, so you were under this impression to be one thing, and it turned out to be another.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your impression of the people? What's your impression of the people so far? Like, you're staying here in a soldier house. What's your impression?
Good. Hopefully... kind. Yes.
Helpful.
Helpful, yes.
What would your family think about you coming here? You mentioned something about your co-workers, though.
Yes. My co-workers say, why are you going to Israel? It's dangerous. It's not good to be there. That's what they say. But my family say it's good to go to Israel. Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Good. That's
they
awesome.
Me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Listen, America... If you have not been to the Jewish state, now I don't believe in debt, if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in debt. It's anti-Bible. But I will tell you this. I believe a firm conviction of mine that I think you should take out the biggest bank loan you can and come to Israel and spend every dime of it or euro here in Israel, and I believe that your life will be blessed, and that'll all get paid back, and you'll probably get some. The bank will come to you and say, well, you know what, here's some free money for you. Mm-hmm. That's a miracle. Why not? That's what I think Americans should do. Pack it up, empty the account, take out a loan, come to Israel. Your life will be changed.
Yeah.
So you've been to Jerusalem?
Yes.
And your thoughts? The holy city. Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What has been, because you've been here for a month now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what has been a highlight experience for you?
That's a good question. A lot of highlights.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, I'll take that as an answer.
Yeah, Jerusalem, it was good to be there.
Did you go up to the north?
No.
Did you go to the south?
Yes.
Okay, where'd you go?
No, I've stayed in Jerusalem for 5 days.
Okay.
And 5 days in Tel Aviv when we were free the week of the holidays.
Okay.
So we stay there. And we go to the Dead Sea, the Masada.
Wow. How was that?
That was great.
Great. You're at the lowest point in the center of the earth.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing. You know, you have a great country. Do you realize that? How amazing your country is? Amazing. It's amazing.
I don't want to describe this thing.
What's your name?
Nufar.
Nufar? Oh, you guys are closing up for Shabbat. Okay, Nufar, you're awesome. I'll pay my coffee bill. And and then we're taking off because we want to get out of your hair so you can go home. So while we're doing that, we're going to continue on. Now, we have a father-son team here. And
from Holland. Yes.
I'm from the United States. I live here.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I have a radio show.
Inside Israel.
They can hear you. You want to say hello, America? No? All right. No reason to be shy. So here we have a... How much do I owe for that cappuccino? 10 shekels? Wow, that's cheap.
And for the beer?
Which one? This one?
Yeah, beer and cappuccino. Wait.
So we have a father-son team.
Ooh. I don't know.
I think
well, that's sitting.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's time for it.
So we have a father-son team from Holland. Thank you, ma'am. From Holland. Dad, you've been here 5 times. What's your name, sir?
Hans.
Pleasure to have you. Thanks for being on the show. Ma'am, I want to say thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
No, you're going to sit tight with us because we're going to keep... We've got a half hour here. So what's your name, sir? The son?
Martin.
It's nice to meet you guys. So, Dad, you've been here for the fifth... This is your fifth time.
Yes.
Your first time was with... Doing volunteer work with the army, I almost said the word.
This is the first time for doing volunteer work in the army, but it's my fifth time I come to Israel, just because I believe in the God of Israel, and he has given me love for the Jewish people about 15 years ago. I never heard anything about Israel in our churches before.
Wow.
But God touches my heart with special love for his beloved, his people.
Wow. Sir, let me ask you. You never... Because I'm telling you, I know, first of all, there's the one thing a lot of the churches in Europe and even in the United States now are teaching replacement theology.
Yes. It's from the devil.
You know a lot of it. Wow. Say it again, sir. We need to hear
it's
that.
It's from the devil.
My. Sir, you ever seen a Chinese buffet? Okay, I just ate at a buffet of truth.
Yeah.
I got a little bit in my teeth. Wow, that was good stuff, sir. That was good. You're absolutely correct. What do you see? You know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was?
Yes.
My hero.
Yes.
You know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was? Great man.
Yeah.
Great man.
He loved also Jewish people.
Yeah. So.
And he gave his life for it.
He did. Let me ask you something, sir. What is happening? We know two things. We see a rise of Islam.
Yes.
In Europe.
Yes.
We see a rise of anti-Semitism in Europe.
Yeah.
What is happening? Tell us what's happening in the Christian churches there. Because I actually asked you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Tell me your name again.
Hannah.
It's a beautiful name. It fits you. It goes with the blonde hair and blue eyes. Hannah told me, what did you tell me about the churches? There was something we talked about. You pray for Israel.
Yes.
Now, I'm a praying fella. I pray a lot. I sincerely do. I pray for the Muslims that God will bring them out of that wicked, evil ideology. There's not even worthy to be called a religion.
They're not free.
No.
No, that's free. But what are happening in the churches is that most of the churches don't want to talk about it because they are afraid. And they think if you don't talk about it, it's not there. But it is. A lot of churches don't have spiritual power to fight just for freedom, just for the freedom of Christ.
Right.
And that people come to him. They most times don't want to talk also about Israel because they think that will be bring war in the church, dividing.
Let it be divided. Yeah. I'm all about it.
Yes.
I am about division. I want to fight. Sir, I'm a fighter.
Yes.
Yeah. A man told me one time when I was coming through Bible college, he said, Michael, a preacher told me this. He said, if you can't start a revival, start a riot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I love a good riot.
Yeah.
Because I don't like people that are halfway.
No.
I don't. I. It makes me sick when I see. You know, I don't. I'm going to let you finish. That I think this needs to be said. George Patton was one of my heroes, along with Yoni Netanyahu. Was a great man. Yeah. Oh, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Golda Meir. And but that's beside the point. But Patton walked into a military hospital in Europe, thanking the wounded soldiers for their strength in the fight. And there was a man sitting there crying. And Patton walked up to him and he said, what are you crying for? Are you all right, son? What's wrong? He said, I can't take the shelling. I can't take it. My nerves can't handle it. And Patton looked at him and he said, what did you say? He said, I can't handle the shelling, sir. My nerves can't handle it. He said, you mean to tell me you're sitting in here because you can't handle it? You're sitting in here among men that fought and gave their life? That were wounded in the heat of battle, and you can't take it? Your nerves can't take it? He beat that soldier with his leather gloves on top of his head, and he said, I'm sending this man to the front lines, because if the Nazis don't kill him, I will. And Patton said one thing. He said, send the cowards to the front of the line, because we don't need them to go back to the United States and breed more cowards. I don't like a coward, sir.
No.
And God, the Almighty, does not like a coward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that needs to be said. So that's my little soapbox. I'm feeling kind of clean right now.
You can also skip it.
What's that?
You can always skip it.
Can, exactly. So let me ask you, let's talk to your son here for a second, because I like this. I like this setup we got going. Dad's been here 5 times, getting ready to do volunteer work with the Army for the first time. And you know what? I honor you, sir, as a father. I honor you as a father because you and your son get to do this volunteer with the Army together. So what do you think, sir, young lad, Martin?
Martin.
What's it feel like? What's it like to be here with you? You're for the first time.
Second time,
because you guys came earlier in the year.
Yeah.
What's it like to be here with your dad, just you and him hanging out and doing your thing?
I like it. It's nice.
And you got any more? Like, I guess I'm an excited fella. So how old are you?
17.
So, can you imagine? I bet most of your friends, their dads never take them to Israel to do volunteer work for the Army.
No.
Your father's a very unique man. He's a good man. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your thoughts right now, the second time in Israel, in your experience here? Do you ever talk about your friends about Israel?
I told them about my vacation and what I was going to do here.
Yeah.
To work,
And what would they say?
I think it's good. I have many Christian friends.
Okay.
So, believe in Israel.
So would you say, let me ask you something, as a father and son, would you say that maybe the younger generation, like your son, is maybe seeing a little more than the older generation that doesn't want to talk about it?
Yeah. I hope so, but the church is. I know for sure in Holland, God's spirit is moving by the true believers.
Wow.
He touches their hearts, about Israel, just in our days.
Wow, it happens.
Just a few years ago, I didn't hear it, but now I hear it every time again.
You've never heard about Israel?
No.
I hear now,
which I heard for 5 years ago, I didn't hear it, that people just for two years are now busy with Israel and talking about it and became love for the Jewish people.
Wow.
It's because God moves the heart of the true believers.
Amen.
Just in our time, because our time is short, that the Messiah will come back, and God wakes us up. Wake up, believer. Come to me, and I will show you awesome things.
Right.
About the Jewish people, how I bring them back here in this country.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and Israel wouldn't exist if there were weren't so much miracles.
Amen. I agree. Wow.
So God has a plan. God has a plan with your and my personal life, but He has also a plan with His people.
Right.
He has chosen them forever. He has chosen them forever. Not that we are second.
We're grafted in.
We are grafted in. So we also are first and chosen. But we all have to make a choice ourselves.
Right.
To be one of the one.
Wow.
First.
Now you're 17 years old in the Jewish state. You're actually going to do volunteer work with young men and women. I'm telling you, yeah, it's mandatory they have to serve. But each one of them, the majority of these soldiers know, I have no choice but to defend my people. If I don't, who will?
No.
Because, yeah, remember I said earlier, I tell the soldiers and I tell the people here in general, you don't need the United States. You don't need anyone but each other and God, because that's all you've ever had.
Amen.
But I'm thankful that, you know, it's exciting that I met you guys, because I'm very thankful to see Europeans that stand with Israel. Because your governments are not.
No.
And it's sad even to hear that the churches, why would you even wrestle with the issue? There should be a boldness.
Yes.
To stand up for truth.
Yes. He has given us a spirit of boldness.
Amen.
Not of fear.
Wow. Yeehaw. So what do you have to say about a little lady?
I have nothing to say.
You have nothing to say?
Everything.
He's saying everything?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so let me ask you. Your friends say you're crazy. What are you doing there? And now you're doing this volunteer work. What are your expectations? What are your thoughts? Like, wow, I'm going to wear an olive green uniform and
yeah,
green beret.
Yeah. No, without a beret. My expectation. It was
like, had you talked to people that had done volunteer work with the army?
And they told good stories. You work with the soldiers, and
Nederlands.
My verwachtingen waren eigenlijk.
She's looking for the words in Hollandish. How do you say it, Hollandish?
Dutch.
Dutch. Okay, sorry. My bad.
My verwachtingen waren eigenlijk meer dan wat ik tot nu toe gedaan heb.
Verwachtingen waren hoger dan je nu meemaakt?
Ja, ja.
She had higher expectations than now are in practice.
In theory.
That became true in practice now?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'll tell you, my experience in doing volunteer work, I was proud to put on that uniform every morning and be next to those soldiers. It gives them such an ego, not an ego, a morale boost.
Yeah.
Like, where are you from? Holland? Holy cow, but the Europeans hate us. That's what they say. The world, I've literally had, when I hand a soldier a Hershey's for Heroes, I'm telling you, I've had soldiers, there's a photo album on the Facebook page called Testimony from the Troops. And I've had soldiers look at me or send me email or send me an instant message and say, Michael, thank you for this. It gives us that strength.
Yeah.
Knowing that we have people standing behind us that we didn't know before. I'm telling you, your lives are about to be changed even more. Because these soldiers, these young people are the best. And I will tell you, Americans don't want to hear this, when our kids are strung out on drugs and partying and alcohol, and our institutions of higher learning are nothing but cesspools of false leftist indoctrination. And now the Muslims have infiltrated every level of our educational system. I wouldn't send my kid to a United States public university to save my life. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. And these kids here, what they go through, they are far better. And America, if you don't want to hear this, if you get mad at me, it's too bad. Suck it up and get with the truth. They're far better than our kids in the United States. I don't care how educated our kids are. Or any, our education doesn't mean anything. I don't care anymore about PhDs. That doesn't show me anything. That doesn't tell me a thing about who you are, because more than likely your character's corrupt. Anyway, I got a little soapbox. We got some time, folks. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to let you guys talk. It's your radio show now.
Yeah, but you talk too much.
Yeah. I get it. I'll tell you what, it makes me so mad. Yeah. I want to spit fire.
Yeah, I know.
Some people call it anger. I call it righteous indignation.
Oh, yeah.
Sir, what's your wife think? My son and my husband are going off to wear the uniform.
She's 100% behind us. And she agrees with this because she has also has a special love for the Jewish people. You know, Christians in America, all around the world, everything we read is the Jewish Bible. Again, everything we read is the Jewish Bible. It's written about the Jewish people. So we will learn about it. How we are and how they are. We are not different. But God has chosen one particular people to teach us a lot of lessons we need for our lives. We need it to live. To live. We say it here, lechayim, to life.
Wow, it's beautiful.
And you need the word of God to live. To live. And this Jewish Bible, we call Bible, talks about Jewish people. Talks about God and his relation with his people. And we call it the Old Testament.
Actually, can I clarify something? Yeah. Those two terms came from Europe.
I know, I just want to explain.
Ah, go ahead, I'm sorry. I call it the First and Second Covenant.
Yes, because it's not an Old Testament and it's not a New Testament. There aren't testaments, but God is a God of covenants. Eternal covenant. So you can better say then the First Covenant and the Second Covenant. And it's one. God is one, so
absolutely.
Word is also one. And he sent his Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, to his people first, and then to us. Like Paul became, apostle for the nations. For the nations, Turkey nowadays, Greece, Italy, and the rest of Europe. And it was spread by all the apostles around the world. But that were Jews who came to bring us the good news, that we can make peace with God.
Wow.
Through accepting his sacrifice for us, that he shed his blood for us. And we say, Amen.
Amen.
And that's the whole story.
Now, if there's any Israelis listening to this, some of you religious folks that like to go to the Kotel and play religion, you ain't got a bit of God in you, I got folks chasing after me, you're a missionary. No, I'm not. I'm here to tell the truth about the greatness of this country. And they'll probably listen to this show because they watch me. They round every bush. Now, not all of them are like that. A lot of my friends are Orthodox and they love me. But this is my radio show and I will say what I want and I'm a Christian. So if you don't like it, then don't listen to it. And eat an Oreo cookie with some milk. Which milk and cookies are not common here. When they see me eating milk and cookies, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, milk and cookies. They're like, we don't do that here. Anyway, let me ask you something. Young fella?
Yeah.
Martin?
Martin. Martin, yeah.
Martin, okay. Martin, I listened to your dad talking. What are your thoughts? You're a 17-year-old guy. You're smart. You're young. Full of vim and vigor and vinegar.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
I think the same as my dad. I learned from him. And
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm behind him.
God has blessed us.
Amen.
And he will do.
Amen. Well, this is amazing. So, ma'am?
Yes.
Your life's about to change. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for the ride?
Yes.
It's going to be wild.
I think so.
And then you're still here for 2 weeks after you get out of the Army?
Sure.
You're still here for 2 weeks after you're done doing volunteer work?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you planning on doing your last 2 weeks?
Maybe we do some volunteer work in a hospital.
Well, if you want to come and help Percy's for Heroes,
maybe.
And do volunteer work with Insight to Israel.
Okay.
We'd love to have you.
Okay.
We'll take you on a few interviews with us. Think about it.
Oh, no. Not more.
No. You're not going to be interviewed. You're going to actually be involved.
Okay.
With what's going on. And if you guys, I don't know how much longer you have after this.
2 weeks now.
2 weeks?
We have all things arranged.
Yeah, everything's arranged. Well, you're kind of pie in the sky, right? You got my card.
Yes, in spare time.
Yeah.
Stay in touch. We'll get you involved. I think you'd love it.
Okay.
I got a guy coming actually from the United States bringing 500 Hershey's for Heroes. We're going to take a trip to a base and spend some time with some soldiers. I'm going to graduation, military graduation. I was invited to on Wednesday. So it's going to be exciting. Life is nonstop for Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I travel up and down the same road, it's amazing. Amazing. Sir, I want to say thank you for being on Insight to Israel, you and your son. You guys are great. Do you have anything you'd like to say to Americans real quick? You got 10 seconds.
Love God. Love His Messiah. Love Israel. Read your Bible. And ask God to touch your heart. That He touches your heart by His Holy Spirit. That you will see the truth about His people. And about the future. And about the coming of the Messiah we will come facing.
You got anything to say, ma'am?
Amen.
All right. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory. Ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gannot. Thank you, God bless patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And as I always do and have done for over 2 years, I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. The truth about Israel, happy birthday. It's a few days past, but happy birthday, Israel. And 67 years of Jewish greatness. Hush it, Sparky, hush it. Put your dog under control, lady. 67 years of Jewish greatness. As this little strip of land leads the world in technology, agriculture, and medicine. Marina, it's
Marina.
Why do I always have a problem with that? I don't know what my problem is. Marina, it's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure having an amazing and inspiring conversation with you about your special love towards our country.
I love, embrace, adore, cherish the Jewish state.
Amazing.
Amazing. 2,000 years of no homeland, reborn, rebirthed out of... I imagine a woman in travail. When I look at the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah, how you went down to the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, and you emptied out the swamps.
Uh-huh.
And you had a lot of... The Rothschild supplied a lot of the money for that. God
right,
bless those
right,
people. God
right.
bless them. And you labored arduously to die. Wow, we're in... It's
Thank
a beautiful
you.
Day. It's another beautiful day in the Jewish state. I will say that. But you labored arduously to create the kibbutzim. And you had kind of like a socialist style setting, which you had to. You had to. Everybody had to work. It wasn't nobody lazy. Everyone played a part, you know?
Exactly.
And it was important for that time. Then when I look at the Haganah, the Palmach, Lehi, and Etzel, the different groups that protected the Jews from the Muslims that were occupying your land that you tried to live in peace with, I had stories... from the lady from the Haganah, she said when she was a little girl, her parents had left Europe pre-World War II, and they would go to the market and they would buy from the Arabs and were nice to them, and then at night the Arabs would try to snipe and shoot them. What you've done, in travail, a woman in travail giving birth to a new nation, and lots of children.
Only 8 million.
Wow. So that's why, Marina, I'm glad that you're here today, because last time you were on the show, you had an amazing story to tell. But let me finish up by saying this. Thank you. Thank you to America's Web Radio. Thank you to everyone who listens to Insight to Israel, watches all the social media, the videos, the write-ups that I do. Thank you to everyone that contributes through a tax-deductible or a PayPal donation, who keeps the work going. And I will tell you, I thank God every day that I don't rely on donations for or partnership for my personal life. That God has given me the ability to take care of my personal life, and yet everything goes for the success, the moving forward, the growth of the work.
Amazing.
And I want to also say thank you to everyone, everyone that is a participator and not a spectator in sending Hershey's for Heroes.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, when a soldier hears from birth to the time he's an adult, 18, and these are adults, these young people are the best, I'll put them up against American kids any day, and they cannot rival them. Michael, thank you for this note, a simple note on a chocolate bar. Thank you for this note, Michael. You don't know what it means. The world hates me because I'm Jewish. That is unacceptable. It is completely unacceptable. And the policies of Israel, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it. I don't care. And it's been done. And I don't care. Because of the policies of the United States, and I love my country, I thank God for it, but we are not what we used to be. And that has to be, to live in the delusion that we are still what we once were is a lie. I don't care if the Mossad spies on my country. If it will maintain the survival of the Jewish people, hey, I would do it if my life from the rest of the world was trying to bring peril to me. In my family, and my neighbors, and my country. We don't see the same thing happen to the Italians, or the French, or the Germans. It's always focused on the Jews, and even worse, the evil Zionists. Whatever, that's a biblical term. Zionism is a biblical term. Yes, it's used in other aspects, maybe defined differently by the seculars. Mm-hmm. I get it. But even they had the same vision, the same dream for a homeland.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say thank you to Americans that say they love Israel and show that love by sending Hershey's for Heroes. A lot of folks can talk a good talk, but they don't know how to walk the walk. And I try to refrain from calling them all hypocrites, even though we all know that's what a lot of folks are, and that's okay. We want to draw them in. Mm-hmm. Some folks need to be called that to their face. Other folks just need to be drawn in and shown a little more truth.
Exactly.
So thank you for your love and your support and your prayers for the soldiers through Hershey's for Heroes. Now, moving forward, ma'am, you've been on this show before.
Exactly, yeah.
And I will tell you that it was amazing. What you shared with us, what you went through in Madrasa, and your parents made Aliyah, or could you define, as an Israeli Jew, what Aliyah means for the listener?
Aliyah. It's a special word that only in Hebrew exists. Aliyah is lifting yourself, is upgrading. So it's coming to the place the Jews first time can feel at home. They're upgrading their spiritual being. They take their Jewish identity to another level.
Amen.
Where they all belong, where they can be a sum of a lot of hearts that united. We all brothers and sisters.
I agree.
We all sons. Why we're so connected? Because we are called Israel, because we are the sons of Israel. Israel was Yaakov, the second name of Yaakov.
Jacob.
And he had the 12 Shvatim. How you say? Dan, Yodah.
The 12 tribes.
The 12 tribes.
How do you say it in Hebrew? Because we need to educate.
Shvatim. Shevet, one tribe. Tribes. Shvatim. Shevet Yodah.
Wow.
Shevet Yodah, Dan, Naphtali. And this is how we actually been born in as a nation. And our official born as a nation, as you mentioned before, was on Har Sinai after 40 years in the desert. We just celebrated Passover. And this was the first time that we did a chuppah with God, that we accepted the
covenant, the agreement with God.
Yes, the first agreement. That's what unites us, and this is why we can be as strongest as we can be only here.
Amen.
United as nation, as each one is organ of one big body, and we need to be here in order that this body will function in a healthy way.
Amen. I agree with you. Wow, that's beautiful. And you know what? Let me say, as a Christian, and if you use these terms, I'm really pounding this, because I think it's an insult to use the word Old Testament. That's completely inaccurate. We've been duped as Christians because there is nothing old about it. It is still relevant and fresh as the morning dew in this day and age. It's amazing. And that term was actually derived from the Europeans, who have been historically anti-Semitic. And I will tell you, and the prophecies found Isaiah, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel are still relevant for today. You have the Battle of Gog and Magog.
Yeah.
That has not happened, but we are seeing a time in history as we've never seen before, as we edge closer to these things that we've read about for so long, that we've tried to interpret and understand the mind of God. And yet, the only way we can have all the scholars, you know, there's a lot of scholars in the world. I think this is, we're going to make our point, but I think it's good for the listeners to be a little educated. How much time you got?
We have 10 minutes.
We have 10 minutes, okay. All right, we're going to get this done. So the reason why I say that is because Israel will always be the center and relevant. Mankind, too many times, has looked at Israel through the porthole of his own environment, of his own country, and determined the way the world is through that porthole, when really he should be stepping into Israel and looking at the world through the porthole of Israel, through God's eyes, using God's time, which is the Hebrew calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Amazing. Exciting. So, listen, we just came through an election, and you're very active in politics here.
Yeah. I was actually, I had the privilege to work with a very young and very promising party, Kulanu Party, that headed by Moshe Kahlon, who just now became our Ministry of Treasury, the new Minister of Treasury. And it came from a blank background, and in 3 months it raised so much ideological supporters who actually support in the ideology behind it, people that believe in change, that we need to do
Watch out with that word change.
Substantial
now.
Reforms.
Right.
We need to do the cost of living and the banks to break the monopolies of banks, the
monopolies.
Taxes, monopolies. There's so much things that need to be done here, because Israelis leaving the country each and every day because they're limited with opportunities. They
right.
cannot find good enough salaries here.
It's a tough country.
It's a very tough country.
Prosperous,
because
it's but tough.
It's a big price to live in the Holy Land.
Right.
And people that are here. Because they believe in it, not because there are no better opportunities out there.
Right.
So he's here. He brought so many people supporting him because he represents a different type of wave of change. That he's done a tremendous reform in the cellular market.
Okay.
He saved us thousands of shekels per year.
That was tough. I remember hearing stories about how cell phone prices were so high.
Exactly. And
now,
he didn't do it by chance.
Right.
But he cracked the enigma how to actually handle with the head of the market.
Okay.
In the cellular, in the tycoons.
Tycoons. Yeah, the cellular tycoons.
He handled tycoons who nobody before him was brave enough to handle. So now he's going to take this experience and bring it to the cost of living, to the apartments that young couples can never afford themselves. Why we cannot live in a country that we're not worrying for our existence every day.
Right.
How to pay the mortgage every day, how to pay the rent. People live in an existential battle. Why we cannot be like Norway, where they give free apartments and all the people need to carry about is how to give to the society,
right.
How to develop the country, how to live peacefully with each other. We need to be this nation where these worries are apart from us.
Right.
When we need just to focus on our security, when we need to focus on the health of our people, on the education, and not have this everyday existential battle of
right.
young couples, of young students. So that's what he actually there to try to change.
Right.
That's why people believe in him.
Now, let me ask you, because, you know, reality is no one's going to ever have a free apartment. That's, someone's got to pay the workers to build it. You know, someone's got to pay the contractor, the architects to design it. You know, someone's got to pay for the sinks to be put in. I don't believe that's what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the reality is you're certainly not going to end up like Norway, because you live among neighbors. You have your internal problems, and I'm speaking from observation. You have your internal problems which you have to solve, and I don't normally talk about those things, even though they're good for the outside world to to have a better understanding of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the challenges that you do face internally are amazing. I mean, you've got over 60% of the Arabs that don't pay taxes in this country, and you work very hard while they do nothing. We see that same analogy in the United States. Many of the blacks feed off the government. This is a reality. Many of them create most of the chaos and the crimes in the United States. It's amazing to see the dichotomy between the two.
Exactly.
You know, right now in Baltimore, there's riots going on for nothing. You know, they don't talk about black-on-black crime. Nobody talks about how the Arabs kill each other and the Muslims kill each other. Everybody wants to talk about how a Jew kills a Muslim because he's defending his country. You know?
Uh-huh.
How much would you say, let me ask you, does defense fall into all this? If you lived in a neighborhood or had neighbors that were relatively peaceful, you wouldn't have to spend so much money on military, on defense and security. How much would you say that plays a role?
So we have all the time, we have this battle between how much we want to invest in our external threat or external defense protection in the government,
right,
and how much we want to invest in the internal infrastructures, education. And it's always the budget is, if you take from one place, you need to give it to other place, and always there is a battle where you need to take from who is which field is the one who need to sacrifice for
it. Right, right.
And we feel it every day how much we sacrifice. For example, we have a huge budget for defense, and it's objectively right, because we have a real
choice.
Substantial threat.
Yeah.
And we need to maintain, because there is no one in the world to take care of for ourselves.
You're right.
Than we are. But we also have the foreign ministry. Foreign ministry is the diplomatic defense that we have in the world.
Okay.
To create the ties with the governments in order to get a support from the world arena. And we always have this battle, because foreign ministry that need to be in the front to represent us in the embassies around the world, they're the one that the budget is so low. And they are another defense system, but we never invest in it enough. That's why the world opinion is always false, in between, because we don't invest in it as much, and it is as important as defense budget that we have.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because when I look at the influence of Saudi Arabia, everybody thinks Saudi Arabia, oh, they're an ally of the United States. They're not. They fund millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to universities all across the U.S., which those universities in turn start Muslim student unions, and those Muslim student unions are now hollering Allah Akbar to your Jewish students, to Jewish students on the campus. So it's ironic that you say that, because the vast amounts of resources that the Muslim countries put out there to strong arm through petroleum, through oil, and you know, the media, Al Jazeera, which owns BBC,
exactly,
and some of these other outlets, it's huge. You have a huge, God bless you, you have a huge battle.
Exactly, exactly. And it's all eventually sums up in how the pie is being divided, the budget pie. That's why when Kahlon, our next Ministry of Treasury, he gets the most important position now. He is the one who is responsible about dividing this pie, the budget pie.
And he can be hated very badly.
This is very crucial position, because every million that goes from one ministry to another, it can define lives of millions of people in Israel.
Right, right. And you're open to work for him.
I worked the campaign, yeah. And now we're all waiting to hear which position we're all going to get inside the ministry.
Wow.
Who will get what, and how close we'll be and how
that
we can be.
That sounds familiar when I was in D.C. Everybody's waiting when the next administration comes
exactly,
in.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm praying to God every day that he will put me in a place where I can help as many people as possible in Israel.
Right.
And influence.
Wow, wow, wow. Go ahead.
And I believe to be in a place like Ministry of Treasury, with all the reforms that he is intending to do, I truly believe from my core ideological values that they are... We were thirsty to have this change in country.
Right.
And every government, we hope, we have a reborn of new hope. But I think this time it's going to be not only hope, but it will have a chance to implement it.
Right. I'm glad you're using the word hope and you use the word change, which are words that, unfortunately, I've come to despise, because especially out of people that work in politics, because there's no... credibility to the words, because there's no plan to bring it about, to usher it in. V15, which was the most corrupt anti-BB, anti-Israel undertaking I think that this country's ever seen. It's unfortunate those folks from the United States working for Obama are allowed to come here, but I'm glad you used those words and were able to substantially bring a better understanding to those that are listening about what your country's faced with. Now, let me ask you, right now, recently, Iris, my executive administrator, we're going to start doing a weekly video, half-hour video on the books that she reads. She's an avid reader. She's currently reading a book by Carolyn Glick. You heard about it? She is infuriated because the United States government recently... because of the struggle with Abu Mazen or Mahmoud Abbas, it's not living up to his end of the bargain when it comes to economic relationship with Israel. There's free money that you give to the Palestinians, and the Treasury, or under Bibi, was not going to give that money unless they met certain criteria that they were going to do with that money, good things, which is not what the Palestinians or the Muslims are doing with money that comes from around the world. And Obama actually forced the hand of the Israeli government to give that money to them. What do you think the challenges in that area will be? Because right now, you've got the Gaza that owes millions of shekels because 70% of the gas, or the water and electric, to the Gaza Strip comes from Ashkelon at your expense, and the Palestinian Authority is behind on the other 30% in payments. What challenges do you think that your potential boss will face when it comes to dealing with the Palestinian Authority?
The main challenge that we all know, we don't delusion ourselves where all this budget is going, and that's why we have such a huge gap of understanding how America pressing ourselves to donate so much money and to invest in it,
right,
from our own people's taxes.
Right.
People work so hard to make a living here.
Absolutely.
But the sad part that we all know that it actually gets to the pocket of Hamas.
Again.
And they are taking all the money. They are in charge of it. And so as much as many of us want to help the Palestinians, that they are the one that being hurt the most from the situation, they are trapped in between Hamas and Israel. But
you mind if I challenge you on that?
Yeah.
For 12 years, when the ink was still dry on turning over Gush Katif, mothers are sending their children after school, after learning how to kill Jews from school books paid by the UN. This had nothing to do with Hamas. They've been learning long before Hamas was elected democratically.
Mm-hmm.
They were sending them down in tunnels, encouraging their kids, we're going to get these tunnels down, we're going to kill some Jews. I mean, that's as plain as it gets. So would you really say that the poor children, I have no compassion for those folks. They're Muslims first and foremost.
Uh-huh.
Would you really say that there's, in realistic terms?
in a humanitarian level, I have compassion for all the people.
Okay.
For the people who are weak,
they
are being exploited. No, they are weak. They are being exploited. They are being brainwashed. Those children are being educated from their mother's milk. It starts
right
to hate us, and they are victims. They are victims of a sad reality.
Right.
And we are victims also because we know the truth.
Right.
What our money is sponsoring to.
It's amazing.
That our money eventually gets to the pockets of terror. And we pay to these terrorists that continue to build the tunnels. And that's what's so painful.
Yeah.
We keep pretending we don't know where all these budgets goes.
So you're hoping he cleans that up and is able to deal with it. I mean, he's got a hard road to tow. He's got a hard road ahead of him. And if he gets in, God bless him. Because when you're dealing with politics, and you know how it is. It's a tough road. Listen, we're about out of time because you got to go.
Exactly.
And describe where we're sitting at right now in Tel Aviv.
So we're sitting in a beautiful square. We're sitting right next to Habima National Theater.
It's beautiful.
This is the first theater in Israel. That's the most ancient. It's just got renovated. And it's just in a corner. We're sitting just in between the Hall of Culture. It's also the oldest building in Tel Aviv, where all the philharmonic orchestras from all around the world are performing here. This is the center of arts and culture in Israel. So we have the muse now to talk also about politics and about the core of our country, because if the culture, the arts, the culture is the one that unites us, and the tradition. So this place represents for me the beautiful culture and tradition that we have that unites us as a nation.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And to see this big square where they have a reflecting pool, and then there's a lower level, a garden that drops down a few stairs. And in that garden, you can hear music playing while
exactly.
You're sitting down in there. You can't hear
exactly.
It unless you're in there.
Yeah.
And once you go down to the garden, it's amazing.
This is the most central point in Tel Aviv, because if you go down to the alley, actually this alley I live, so you go down to the Rabin Square. So it's very close to Rabin Square, where all the demonstrations are happening and where Yitzhak Rabin was shot.
Again.
So this is all a very historical locations, that this is what Tel Aviv means to most of the natives here.
And you're actually obviously a regular in this coffee shop. Marina, I want to say thank you. Did I say your name right?
Marina, yes,
Marina.
Perfect.
I can't
Marina.
Say it without Marina.
Marina Naomi Smolyanov.
Jan, listen, you know what? You're awesome.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you do for your country.
I do it from all my heart.
Absolutely.
It took me a long way to come here, and I appreciate each and every day in my homeland.
Wow, that's beautiful. We want to say thank you for being on the show. God bless you, and we look forward to having you on in the future.
Thank you, my dear.
All right,
thank
this is
you.
Michael Gano with Insight Digital and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the Patriot
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.